Welcome. Welcome to church, everybody. Wonderful to see you. What a beautiful day. Isn't God amazing? And so we just love just being together here on a Sunday. I get so excited. I really, this is one of my highlights, truly one of my highlights of the week, just to stand here, be part of this wonderful body. But before I start, let's pray. Father, we thank you for just this wonderful day. We thank you, God, that you've called us to this place for a time as this. And Father, we pray that you will speak to individuals here today, God. Speak through me, God. I commit this time to you. I humble myself. And I pray, Father, that you will move our hearts, that you come and strengthen us today with the power, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that you awaken our hearts, wherever we find ourselves at this season of our lives, Lord, you'll move us forward into the things of your kingdom and your spirit. And we just surrender to you. Lord, give us ears to hear this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, I'm going to continue our series called The Ripple Effect. I'm excited about this series because I've already heard some amazing testimonies of what God's doing. And God's just moving in our church through people. I've heard testimonies. We had a student that's given her life to Jesus about a couple of weeks ago. We've heard testimonies of just people responding to the good news. It's just wonderful to hear how God uses us to play our part in the Great Commission. How many of you know that you're called? That God's called you for a purpose. And in this series, we've discovered how God uses ordinary men and women to cause a ripple effect, to affect cultures. We've heard over the last couple of weeks about the effectiveness of prayer. The prayers of the righteous are what? Powerful and effective. And just through our prayers, you know, we've seen change. Even my own family, I testify that God has done something in our family. My brother is now walking with God. For 35 years, we've been praying for him, and he just came back to Jesus. And he's in church this morning. And I'm so excited about that. And so, and as we continue the series, we're going to look this morning at the Jesus effect. We've looked at so many amazing people and that God has used to cause a ripple effect through history. How many of you know there's people that's gone before us? There's some people that has prayed for you. You are a testimony of somebody that's prayed for you. I certainly know that because many years ago, I used to attend my parents' church in the Strand in Cape Town, and this lady that used to sit behind me, she would pray. This was her assignment. And I can remember she just, as I gave my life to God, and my mom said, you know, there's a lady that I want you to see. She's in the old age home. And I'm like, oh, wow, I've never been there to old age home, but hey, let's go and meet this lady. She sounds like a significant, amazing woman. And I remember when she shared, she said, you know, my assignment was to pray and intercede for you. And I can now rest in peace knowing that you were with God. Because that was my assignment by God. You know, I'm old and I couldn't go out and do all these things. But all God told me is to pray for you. How many of you are thankful for those people? You know, next week she passed away and she's in heaven now and interceding. She's a cloud of witness and just praying and interceding and so and worshiping Jesus. And so I love that. I love how our this amazing Savior that we serve have caused such a ripple effect through the lives. Even up till today, you know, his name is mentioned. He's been worshipped and people's lives are changed because of Jesus. How many of you know that Jesus had such an amazing effect on the cultures? And everywhere Jesus went, people went. There was something that was so tangible, you know, some people just wanted to be around Jesus. Wherever Jesus went and around the Sea of Galilee, people, crowds came to witness. And crowds, people would just break through crowds just to touch Jesus. Because there was something in Jesus and upon Jesus that was so attractive. And so we're just going to look this morning again. What is this Jesus all about? Sometimes we just need to be reminded. It's almost like God is taking us back, not to the basics, but to prayer, the effectiveness of prayer, and taking us back to Jesus. Why Jesus? Why is he such an important part of our lives? And I just know that, you know, God has given this amazing gift to us. When God decided, you know, I love this world so much, and my desire is for this world to know me, then he sent Jesus in the form of a man that walked on the face of this earth and became sin for us, so we can be reconciled to the Father. So God loved the world that he gave his only son, that he gave his best, Jesus, for us. What does it really mean to follow Jesus? What are the qualifications to know to follow Jesus? How do we qualify to become a disciple of Jesus? You know, in ancient Jewish culture, during the time of Jesus, kids were taught the Torah during their school. From the age of 6 to 10, they will enter a place called Bet Sefer. Bet Sefer means the house of the book. From the age of 6 to 10, these children will learn the Torah. It's the first 5 books in the Old Testament. They will memorize it. And then some of them will drop out and some will go to the next level. When some of them drop out, they go and learn the family trade like fishing, doing carpentry. But some will carry on. The smartest of the best of the best will then progress to the next level, which is called Bet Talmud. It's called the house of learning. From the age of 10 to 14, they will memorize the whole Old Testament. I've seen these video clips of them, of these kids that will memorize the Old Testament. And then from there, some of them then again will drop out and take up the family trade, fishing and carpentry. So the next step, only the best of the best will then join what they call Bet Midrash. It's the house of study. Now any person, any child cannot enter into that place to actually have the privilege to be discipled by a rabbi. And so you need to apply, and you'll go through a process where they'll sit down with the rabbi, and the rabbi will then ask all these questions to test their knowledge of Scripture. And they had to memorize all of these Scriptures. And then if they were selected, and that's only a few, will then spend time and then be discipled by this rabbi. Friends, the good news this morning is that we all qualify to be his disciples. We all qualify. I love just the way Jesus went about his ministry. And we see this in Matthew 4, verse 18. When he just walks beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother, Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And then I love this. He says this. This is what Jesus says. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. And at once they left their nets and they followed him. Ordinary fishermen, unschooled fishermen. And I think about this. You know, why would they just leave everything and then follow? For them, this was another opportunity because, you know, they've went through the system. Some of them just dropped out in the first level. Some of them might made it to the second stage. But here comes Jesus, the greatest rabbi that ever lived, greatest teacher, walks up to them and gives them this invitation, say, come follow me. And there was no hesitation. They put down their nets and they followed this man. Some of them didn't hear. They knew of him, but they didn't know him. They heard about his miracles. People were flooding in the flock. They were going to all these meetings and they've seen the miracles and they've heard about him. I'm just thinking about their response. They left their nets. I mean, think about it. They went home that night and I wonder what that meeting around the dinner table was. How did they explain that to their family? You did what? You followed who? Who is this man? Who is this Jesus? And so it's important as we look at those words, come follow me. It's important that you know the me. You're not just going to follow somebody for the sake of following them. It's you want to know. There needs to be some trust, right? I mean, somebody come along and just said, hey, listen, come follow me. And you give up your job. You give up your profession. That's all they knew. It was their daily bread. It was everything that, you know, that was the probably some of the working in the family business. Who knows? And there was a sacrifice. That is what you call faith into action. That is faith in action. Putting your trust in somebody. I just love that. That's what my brother did a couple of weeks ago. He just said, yes, my life is a mess. He's heard of Jesus. But then he decided, you know what, I'm going to respond. Jesus was calling him. There was an invitation. Said, Francois, come. Come follow me. Now, we didn't push him. We really prayed. Believe me, we prayed for my brother for many years. But he heard the voice of God. And now he's stepped into this, what we call a discipleship relationship with Jesus. And I just love how Jesus called what you call 12 dodgy men together and he spent time with them because they were dodgy. Really, they had a past. They had some flaws in their lives. They were not perfect human beings. They had human limitations. Some of them were very unreliable. But Jesus said, come. Come follow me and I will make you. I love that part, make you, because that's the process of what discipleship is. This change. It involves change. And Jesus said, come and walk with me. I want to teach you. I love that. Why would you think the call to discipleship is the call to follow Jesus? Why did Jesus choose to engage with this fisherman? Friends, I love the way Jesus looks at us is totally different from the way the world looks at us. Because when Jesus looks at us, he sees potential. He sees promise. He sees purpose. And what he saw in these men, these fishermen, wasn't because they were uneducated. That could have disqualified them in the system that was in place at the time. But what he saw in them was purpose. You see, he could work with them. He said, come follow me and I'm going to make you fisher of men. There was a bigger purpose for them than just simply fishing. This was a different mission assignment that they've received. Following Jesus is not always easy. I've heard a lot of pastors and people say, come, follow Jesus, and all your troubles are going to disappear. That's not the truth. But on this journey, you're going to get to know this amazing man, teacher. You're going to see what Jesus is all about. You're going to learn to trust him. It's in any relationship that we have. There's got to be trust. You know, I think about this. Why did Jesus engage with these fishermen? Because in the eyes of Jesus, they were important. He made a statement, I believe, to the religious Pharisees that anyone and everyone can become a disciple. Those that are willing to leave and lay down their lives and follow Him qualifies to be a disciple of Jesus. Friends, sometimes we don't feel worthy, but in His eyes, we are worthy. And He's just calling us into this relationship with Him. I remember when I said, yes, Lord, I want to follow You. And on this journey, you know, I just learned so many things about Jesus. Jesus spent a lot of time with His disciples. But there's something about Jesus that rubbed off on these disciples. Jesus' time on earth was limited. And so His mission was that to make them disciples, for them to really understand what this kingdom is all about. Jesus used stories. He was one of the most amazing storytellers. And they would listen, and they would watch, and they would learn. Faith came from hearing, and they witnessed all these miracles. But God had a purpose for them. And people will ask, what is our purpose here as every nation? Our purpose is to make disciples of all nations. So what is discipleship? Discipleship is a relationship. It's the process where we learn and God changes our lives. And so this is something that you'll hear a lot in this church, discipleship, being a disciple of Jesus. Go and make disciples. And that was His instruction to His disciples, that they will become like Him in every way. Our call, what He really wanted them to be, is to become salt and light. And I want to look at this little bit this morning. What does it mean to be salt and light? We see this in Matthew 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. There's two things that Jesus desired for them to be and become like: salt and light. What does salt do? Salt preserves something. Salt affects the taste of food. How many of you have had some bland food, and when you add a bit of salt, it just changes that flavor? It was extremely valuable during the biblical time. So using salt, it cost a lot of money. It was valuable. But that's the way God sees us, as valuable, bringing taste to this world. And then He says, I want you to be a light. Now, we've just had our week, and we had Halloween. During this time of the year, it's a dark time. People do practice, and there's a lot of things that happen during Halloween. It is a dark day, right? But even in this time, in this season, God is calling us to be the light, stepping into darkness. And I believe God doesn't want us to cover ourselves like this light, just to be hidden. We just want to stay in a place where we just hide. But no, friends, He's calling us out to be a light. It is truly our time to shine. How can we become salt and light? It starts off by imitating Jesus. He's our example. Become like Him. You know, how many of you as a child wanted to be like somebody, okay? I mean, I remember growing up, I loved these sportsmen, these rugby players, and I would go to the rugby field and I would have up this poster up on my wall. I would, after the final whistle, I'll run onto the field and I just wanted to touch my euro. And I even, there's one guy in a particular way, he would kick and he's one of the kickers and the fly off, and he, while he's kicking to for goal, for the post, he's got a certain position that he stands in. I'll never forget this. I was just what they call in South Africa, lighty. I was still a young man, and I was just standing there in front of the mirror in my mom's bathroom, and I was standing like this, you know, like I'm aiming, you know, and I was kicking, and my mom walked in there. I was a bit embarrassed. I'm like, well, okay. My mom said, what's up? What's it? I had my rugby jersey on and my shorts and my socks. And I was lining up like I'm taking, you know, I'm just aiming towards the post. I'm going to take this kick now. And so that's what we do. We imitate. We people. We want to, that is some of the people. That is the standard that we have in this world. We look up to them. We envy them. But friends, this is the wonderful example that Jesus, this is where he said, come follow me. Let me be that example to you. Watch my life. If we study Jesus and his life, that is where we become, and we apply some of these principles that he teaches us about in the scripture, we will become more attractive to this world. That's what he wants. He wants to make us so attractive, irresistible to the world, that people see there's something about that person. There's something about their behavior, the way they carry themselves, the way they present themselves, the way they walk, the way they talk, the way they care about people. That's what Jesus was all about. He was about serving. He came to serve and save the lost. That was his mission. He cared. He truly cared about people. He didn't say, hey, I'll... He was there. He showed up. Times that he walked through towns, he could have gone to the marketplace, but he would just go to this woman at the well. Or he would just see that one person. It wasn't always about the 99. It was about the one. Sometimes he, you know, it's good to just leave the church and go after the one. Ephesians says this. Here we go. We get stuck at that one. Ephesians says, 5 verse 1 to 2, therefore, be imitators. Here we go. This is when Jesus calls you to step into our world. And you find yourself at a confession booth. But when we imitate Christ, we become and we look like Him. And Ephesians 5, 1, 2 says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. I love that, a fragrant aroma. How many of you know that this world needs fragrance, aroma? Things really smell out there at this moment. Therefore, be imitators, my friends, and walk in love. That's how Jesus walked. He walked in love. For him, there's something that moved Jesus and something that we need to take hold of. And the church needs to take hold of, because we can easily lose this fragrance. We can easily lose this effectiveness. And then the reason why Jesus was so effective, because he knew how to love people. I love the way he loved and he looked at people. Imitate Him. Becoming Christ-like. Be an example to others. 1 Timothy 4:12. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, in your faith, and in your purity. Friends, it is real. People are watching us all the time. People are watching us, and you know, as you represent Him, if you say, hey, I'm a Christian, they watch the way you communicate, what you post on your Facebook, ouch, what you do on Instagram, you're under that microscope. Because people are looking for examples. They're looking for, do you represent Him? What do you say in your talk? In your beliefs? Are you the real deal? So be an example. It's so easily, you know, we all get provoked. We're all out there and we say things, and you know, there's people at work that it's very hard to love them. How many of you have those people in your life? You know, there's people that would say things and you have this moment of, oh goodness, you know, am I going to react? Because I'm provoked right now. And then it's so hard just to walk away and not say anything. But you really choose to say this thing. And you know, we cannot always take back those words. My kids, they're watching me all the time. I watched some rugby yesterday. My team lost. And the joy comes in the morning. But Steve is going, yeah, he's an Englishman. And so England beat South Africa, only just. And my kids were sitting in the room and they were playing with their toys. And I was in front of the television. I'm like, oh, my goodness. And I'm so glad you guys didn't hear, or the neighbors didn't hear, or you were there. It was not being Christ-like at all. And so anyway, I screamed. I mean, it was like this frustration and this anger came out. Maybe it's a righteous anger. I don't know. No, I'm kidding. But I was so frustrated. And my kids looked at me. I mean, they were shaken, you know. So anyway, I had to go and apologize. I gave them a hug, each of them, and say, sorry, Daddy gave you a bit of a fright there. But they're looking at me all the time. Wherever I go, they're watching me. They watch how I treat their mommy, how I treat other people, how I interact. You know, I can be standing here, but if I don't practice what I preach, that's what they'll remind you of. As they grow older, they're going to be watching me. Daddy, you said this in church. But look at the way, that's the way it is. So friends, we want to be example. We want to be Christ-like to other people. That's part of our discipleship journey. This is what Jesus is calling us into, is lifestyle ministry, lifestyle Christianity, to live it out. Do not simply be hearers of the word, but be doers. We can hear and hear, but if we don't apply and actually do, it's ineffective. We want to be effective. And that's what Jesus wanted to get through to his disciples. He said, I want you to do this. He said, my time on earth is finished. Your apprentice is finished. I'm going to be with the Father. But I want you to do this. I want you to be an example. I want you to follow these principles that I've taught you. Apply them to your life. Now, the application is not always easy. And that's what I want to encourage us with as a church, as a people, to apply these things. Write it down. What is God calling you to do? How is He calling you to respond right now? Some of you might be here in a situation with your work, and you're going back tomorrow, and you know you're thinking, how should I respond to this situation? This one person is rubbing me up the wrong way. I'm annoyed. I'm frustrated. How does God want you to respond in that situation? And I believe it's as we receive from Him freely, we've received. It's important that we let Him out. And I mean that in you know, we're living in a culture where we want to put Jesus in a box. You know, we want to keep him in church, and then we leave church, and it's like, yeah, see you on Sunday, Jesus. See you next week. But how many of you know when we receive God as Jesus as our Lord and Savior, he comes and dwells in our lives, in our hearts, by his Spirit. And so wherever we go, where, guess what? Jesus goes with us. He doesn't leave us or forsake us. And so when we go into the marketplace, when we go to work, wherever we find ourselves on campus, his presence is with us. His Spirit goes with us. And that he calls us to represent him through our lifestyle. Now, we decided last week that we're going to just go out on the street and let Jesus out. and just go you know, we were a bit silly there. We're dressing up like monks. Some people might find that a bit offensive. But it was simply opportunity that we could use just to interact with people. These guys came up to us and said, hey, you know, they couldn't believe that we were sober, first and foremost. You know, they just asked these questions, and it was just a wonderful. We had an hour conversation with these two guys. It's Niall, and the other one was Amen. So, where we could just say, Lord, what do you want us to say to these people? And so, in my conversation with Amen, there in the middle, you know, I just fell to ask him the question. I said, Amen, is there anybody in your family, close relative that is suffering from mental health, depression? And he looked at me and said, yes, my mom. It's been like that for a while, and he's overwhelmed. He's desperate. He said, I went to church, I lit a candle, I prayed, I said a prayer for her, but we're finding it very hard right now. And there was a moment where God just gave me a word for him, just to encourage him, a moment where I could just let out what I've learned, what I've received from God, some encouragement. There's a man there that needed encouragement. I said to him, you know what, everything's going to be okay, my buddy, friend. I'm going to pray for you. We prayed for him, and Lenny and Chrissy also had a wonderful conversation with the other gentleman there, Niall, and he got emotional, and just some words that were spoken over him and some prayers. It was just this wonderful moment where God will use these two monks, three monks, and our sister there. I'm not going to say none, but you know, we had this opportunity just to engage in a conversation. And everybody was dressing up. I mean, I'm not going to walk around there dressed up with a devil in a tail and whatever. No, we're going to go in the opposite spirit. We want to go and represent him and said, okay, well, why do we need to stay in our spiritual bunker and kind of, oh, Christians, they'll get all like, oh my gosh, it's Halloween. I get that. We got to pray. But God's also calling us to be proactive, to go, to step into your will, be a light. Don't to hide yourself, to cover yourself. And we're not called to be undercover Christians. You know, get into our spiritual bunkers like, oh, my goodness. But he's really calling us to make a difference in our community. And this is the practical way. I love that, Lenny. Thank you for just initiating that. It's just so much fun, you know, just to actually find out what is happening in our community. Through these conversations, we had so many divine appointments, you know, just with, you know, this group of guys that we chatted to. And then as we walked past this pub, and they just walked out, and we had this another conversation with them. And so I want to encourage you. I'm not saying to you today, dress up like a monk or nun or whatever. And, you know, just play your part. Be yourself. Just be who you, God's called you to be. Sometimes it's not saying anything. It's just being there. People just want to listen. I've just been encouraged just by Sandy, you know, just reaching out to people, just feeling prompted by the Holy Spirit just to send a message. And God has just been using her and so many other people here. Just the wonderful the testimonies. How God is using individuals and causing a ripple effect here in this city. Because that's how He's called us to make a difference. You have a purpose. And that purpose is to go and make disciples. Give what you've received. Here we go. Having fun on the streets. And so, and every nation, you know, here in this church, we believe in discipleship. And this really helps us to make disciples and keep us focused on the how. Because a lot of people, they get over, how do I make a disciple? What is a disciple? A disciple is a follower of Jesus. A discipler is to how to make disciples, to simply get beside somebody and help somebody follow Jesus. Encourage them. And so, today, I looked at engage, where relationships are built. And that is what He's called us to do, is to build some relationships. It's like a bridge. You're building that trust between people. And it's not going out on the streets and preaching to people. A lot of people think about it as, now I need to go and preach on the streets. It's not about that. It's getting involved. It's really showing people that you care, reaching out to your neighbor. Our job, and I say this a lot, is not to get people to church. It's to help to get them closer to Jesus. We're so focused, especially in this culture, in this city. It's like, come to church. I mean, I know the intention. We really want them to come. But some of them are not ready to come. You get what I'm saying? And so some of them are just a work in progress, like all of us, under construction. And so it's helping them go on this journey and God enabling us to be a witness to them, to engage our culture with the gospel. Because friends, we have received such amazing, the good news of the gospel about Jesus, about what He's done in our lives, our testimonies. And that's what He wants us to do, is to go and tell the world. Tell them what God has done in our lives. I'm just going to pray and end right there. And we're going to continue over the next couple of weeks. Troy is going to be sharing on the established part. And I really want to encourage you over the next couple of weeks, just really ask God, Lord, what is my part in this discipleship journey? What part do you want me to play? How do you want to use me? I feel so ineffective. I feel so unqualified. And so we're going to help you in this journey. And really that starts, all friends, to become a disciple of Jesus. It's saying yes to Him. Every morning I say yes to Him. Every morning, I don't feel like, always like a disciple. I'm like, Lord, seriously? You've called me to do this? And God just said, yes, come. So every morning is that come moment. Say, come, walk with me. I'll make you. It's a process. It's a journey with Him. Just stand with me this morning, and I'm going to pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this morning. I thank You for that You have called us, Lord. Thank You for, Lord, the way You look at us. Father, when You look at us, You see purpose and You see promise. You see potential. I thank You, Lord, for the way You value us. Father, each and everyone here, Father, is deeply loved by You. I thank You, Lord, that You've got plans to prosper us, not to harm us, to give us a hope and a future. And I thank You, Lord, as You call these ordinary men to Yourself and You show them their identity, their purpose, Lord, and the part that they had to play. That was so far more significant than they thought. Some of them felt maybe like failures, that they failed. But Lord, as you look at us, you don't see us as failures. You see us as sons and daughters. That you have a plan for us, Lord God. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us. God, as we say yes to you, Lord, and some of us, Lord, here this morning just need to say yes again. I just feel like as I shared this morning, God is just inviting us again this morning. And he's just saying, come. I want you to come, follow me. And I feel like there's maybe some things that's come between you and in your relationship with God. Whatever it is, whatever barriers there is at this moment, I just pray you'll come and remove it in Jesus' name. Father, whatever it is, God, I pray, Lord, that you will just remind them, Father, that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray that you remove condemnation, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Lord, where they've said, I'm not good enough, I'm not able, I cannot do this. But I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the great enabler. And I pray that you'll come this morning and just fill our hearts. Lord, as we've seen in Acts 1:8, the Spirit of the Lord came upon the church. And they received power to be your witness in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And I pray, Lord, that this morning will be that moment, Lord, as we come together in one place, that you will come by your Spirit and empower each and every person here this morning to be the person, the disciple that you've called them to be in Jesus' name. I pray that they will grow in their relationship with you. And through that relationship, God, that they will just naturally love people. It will not be difficult, Lord. It will just be so easy to love people. That they'll know how much they are loved. So they can love other people, Lord, in Jesus' name. Help us to engage in our culture here. And Lord, I even feel, Lord, some people here that is from another nation have really struggled for a period just to connect, to engage with other people in this city, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you'll give them confidence, give them courage in Jesus' mighty name, Lord, because it's not by might nor by power, but by your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, have your way in us. Make us more like Jesus so that we can shine. Be the salt and the light that you've called us to be in this city, in Jesus' mighty name.